Bring Christian greetings to each one of you this morning. It's good to be back up north again, in a way. We got a nice warm welcome when we went down there. Sometimes you almost feel like you'd just soon be a little cooler welcome. Not as far as the way the people treat you, but it's nice to be back home again. I'd like to look over into Psalms 107 if you'd like to follow along. Psalms 107. Seems like there's so many encouraging words in this psalm and so many examples of how people reacted to the Word of God and how we should be. Let's just start reading there in the first verse. Psalms 107, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary place. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. And you notice down through here, it's thankful for the reaction. It says in verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof, and they mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them down, he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And he turned the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they were multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they were minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and bringeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning with thankful hearts for Thy tender mercy to each one of us. How we need Thy mercy, Lord. We need Thy loving kindness. And we pray that we shall be a thankful people, and a people who will praise Thy name and thank Thee for the many, many blessings that are bestowed upon each one of us. We pray that Thou will help us not to neglect so great a salvation, Lord, but that we might avail ourselves of the means of grace and find that place in the very center of God's will, that we might sense Thy presence and Thy help and leadership and guidance. We just pray that Thou will speak to us again this morning, Lord, and help us, dear Father, to each one realize how little we are and yet how great God is. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. All down through this scripture, it speaks about the struggles of life and the struggles of that have been of God's people. And it seems like that with each one of these, when man comes, and it hadn't changed at all, when man comes to the end of himself and realizes that he's not able to do it himself or take care of himself, then hopefully he will turn to God and cry out to God for help. And then after the Lord intervenes and steps in on the scene and takes care of things, as a result of man humbling himself before God, the secret still is that if those that are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, that God will hear from heaven and he will heal. Whatever the problem is, God will intervene if a man will throw himself on the mercies of God and admit his need of God and admit his desire to have special help from the Lord. He satisfieth the longing soul and giveth the hungry soul goodness. If you hunger after salvation, if you hunger after a closer walk with the Lord, you will find it. God is faithful. If you want to be more like Him and you seek Him, He will help you to find that place of closeness to God. But our problem, our great problem is when self gets in between. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. And how many times we think that everything is going pretty good, and we feel pretty strong in a lot of different ways, and all of a sudden realize that we're trying to run on our own and not dependent on the Lord like we need to. And all of a sudden the props are all kicked out from under us and we land right flat down. And if we find ourselves clear down, it's the best way up. We can get down before the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart, and God will intervene. He will help us. But there is a place that if a person rejects the mercy of God, then there is nothing but darkness and confusion. Darkness and confusion and more confusion and more darkness. And how great is that darkness? There was an incident that took place in some of the western states sometime back. A young man who was well thought of by all the people around. He wasn't a Christian, but he was real likable. He was real friendly, and yet he wasn't where he should have been. And, you know, you put yourself on the devil's ground, you're in trouble. You're in a bad place. This young man found himself sitting around a table playing cards with some of his friends. Some people maybe say, well, what's wrong with playing cards? Well, a lot of cards are used to gamble with. And my daddy and my mother, back in their early Christian life, they used to sit around and play what was called Rook. I don't know anything about it, never played it. And then daddy became convicted about it. He said, you know, if somebody looks in the window of our house and sees us all sitting there, however they do it, shuffling cards and that type of thing, they wouldn't know but what we're playing, the real low playing cards. And he said, we're not going to do this anymore. That's the end of them, and that was the end of the cards. Well, you might think, well, it's not too important. This young man, it was pretty important. He had his heart all wrapped up in it, and some people get so wrapped up in games that they're just everything, and we need to do our best. But when we come to the point that anger comes out and that kind of thing comes out, then we're in trouble. Evidently, in their playing of the cards, he got upset, and there happened to be a revolver there, and he just grabbed it up and shot the one that was hit, his opponent, shot him, and it killed him. And it was on the spur of the moment, in a fit of anger. And most of the time he was a nice, friendly fellow. Everyone liked him. Well, he was taken to court, and they condemned him to death, and they said he was to be hanged. He was condemned. But it was just once in so much of what seemed like a beautiful life. He was so friendly and so nice to get along with. And it was just once his fit of anger came up like this, and life was over for the other man. Well, a number of the people got petitions up, and they started in signing their names that the governor would have mercy on this young man, since most of the time he was a very nice young fellow. And they began signing, passing the petitions around town, and putting them in baskets and sending them to the governor. And it went out into some of the neighboring villages. The young man was well known all around. They also took petitions up and signed it and sent them into the governor. And the governor was moved upon. He saw all these baskets full of petitions of this young man's friends who were pleading for his life and asking the governor, just please pardon him. Please pardon him. And he was a professing Christian. Tears came to his eyes and he decided, I'm going to pardon that young man. He got his piece of paper out and he started in and wrote out the pardon for the young man that would pardon him of everything and set him free from jail. He was on death row right now, death row, sentenced to be hanged. And so he put his suit coat on and all of his, where he looked somewhat like a clergyman, and headed down towards the prison with the pardon stuck in his pocket. And he went in the prison and walked up towards the cell where the young man was. And the young man saw him. He sprang up to the bars and he said, get out of here. I don't want to see you. He said, I have had seven of you in here already. And he said, I've had enough religion in my home. He thought he was a preacher. And he said, you just get on out of here. And the governor told him, he said, well, just a minute, young man. He said, I've got something for you. Let me talk to you. And the young man said, listen. He said, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to call the guard and have you put out. And the governor tried to reason with him. He said, young man, he said, I have news for you, the very best news. Won't you let me tell you about it? And he said, you heard what I said. And if you don't leave immediately, I'm going to call the warden. And the governor, sadly, with a sad heart, said, very well. He turned around and he left. And in just a few moments, the warden came in and he said to him, he said, well, young man, he said, I see that you had a visit from the governor. And the young man said, what? That man was the governor? I thought he was a preacher. And he said, yes, he said he was the governor and he had a pardon in his pocket for you. And he said, you wouldn't even listen to him. And he said, well, get me a pen, get me some ink, get me a paper. And he said, I've got to write a note to him. And he sat down and he wrote out a note. Dear Governor, I owe you apology. I am sorry for the way that I treated you. The governor received the letter. He turned it over and wrote on the back, no longer interested in this case. It's done. The day came for the young man to die, and they asked him, do you have anything to say before you die? And he said, yes. He said, tell the young men of America, I'm not dying because I am a murderer. The governor pardoned me. I could have lived. Tell them, he said, that I'm dying because I did not accept the governor's pardon. I did not accept the governor's pardon. And how many times the Holy Spirit comes around and he speaks to hearts and he deals with them. And the pardon is paid by Jesus in full if they realize their need and give themselves unreservedly to God. It's paid in full. But many people do despite to the Holy Spirit and they grieve him away and say, no, I have heard, had enough of that before. And maybe they hide behind the hypocrites and hide behind this and hide behind that. And the pardon is there for them to have peace, real peace in their hearts and forgiveness and a home in heaven that's not a fairy tale, it's real. And they say, no, but they don't realize that they're sealing. The decision is doing away with the pardon, and their eternity is being sealed by the choice that they've made. You know, it is absolutely up to you. It's absolutely up to me. Your parents would love to do something. Our friends or relatives would maybe like to help us some way. But it's between you and God. Will we give ourselves unreservedly unto Him? Or will we hold on to the old self life? Israel was up and down. And many times life, it seems up and down. But if we will do like what they did, when we hit the bottom, cry to the Lord for help and mercy, and plead the mercy of God, and through the precious blood of Jesus, we can have deliverance from the awful monster sin. Let's kneel in prayer.